A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, my man, congratulations. Finally, officially, you've put it out there publicly. I saw you spike the football.
Yes.
The powder came up blue. We got a class of 2043 prospect on the way. Like, man, I'm excited. There have been so many times over the last like couple months where I wanted to like say something like, you know, hey, you're going to be a dad now, but I didn't want to like want to break your news. But now that you've broken it, I'm excited that we can talk about it.
Now, this is important. CBS, y'all have a tie-in with 247. 247 is the recruiting arm, right, for the most part?
Yep.
Can we get a profile created?
Yeah. I'll talk to my people.
2044 recruit?
Now, here's the
or 2043?
Here's the deal, though, Gabe. I don't know if we want to give him that fifth star already because, you know, then he's going to have that sense of entitlement. Like, we want him to work, you know?
Well, we have a situation like that unfolding right before our eyes right now, like Bronny James and LeBron, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we don't need all that. We don't need that type of pressure.
Dang, Gabe.
Yeah.
That was a shot at Bronny. I watched his summer league debut the other day. I thought he didn't really do much, but I mean, he didn't do anything terrible.
Didn't do anything. Come on, he's 2 for 9. But honestly, though, no, it blows me away. David is like, did anyone expect him to just like snap in that game? Did anybody expect him to just jump off the screen watching him play? We haven't seen anything like that from him yet.
I think the rest of the country is learning like who Bronny is as a player. Because if you didn't follow college basketball, it's hard to, like, maybe some people just don't know. Like, they just literally, they didn't follow college basketball. They, you know, they think he might be great because he's LeBron James' son. And it's like, well, no, that's not exactly what this is. But and then you get the situation where he's talked about on SportsCenter all the time now. And so, you know, that just, like, feeds into this sort of assumption of, like, the kind of player he's going to be. But in his defense, I'll say this, like, Dalton Knecht didn't look great either, you know, in their summer league game over the weekend. So it is a situation where you got rookies playing against pros for the first time, and it's no surprise that, you know, there's going to be some learning curve there.
It just cracks me up. Bronny is never going to be Bron. He's not the size of him. He cannot possibly be the similar player to LeBron. And it just feels like people are just – it's the conversation's going to get – I mean, it's already annoying. But it's just going to speed up, go into hyperspeed, and I don't enjoy that at all.
No.
Every single time he plays, I don't need to draw generalizations about him or talk about how well or badly he played. It just doesn't seem necessary.
But I'm going to be doing that with Zach Edey tonight. I'm going to be making mass generalities about him as an NBA player based on what we see in 20 minutes of summer league action tonight. We do that, right? Like that's how we are, and we want to make snap judgments about players, about people from one interaction, from one game. I think that's partly human nature. Like you want to trust what your eyes are telling you, but oftentimes it takes a larger body of work to really, you know, verify the type of player that somebody is. And Bronny, whatever his finished state is going to be, it's not going to be that for another 3 or 4 years, because this is a one and done guy with a long, long developmental runway. And let's put him up against Dalton Knecht, who's on his team, the other rookie for the Lakers. That's a guy who you want to have a short developmental runway.
Yeah. Because he is who he is. He's 23 years old.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, you got to judge rookies on different sliding scales based on the experiences that they've had, how far along they are in their development. And in his development, Bronny is very much an infant.
Now, let me ask you this, though. I know you were making funnies there a second ago with Zach Edey. Do you really expect to be able to make any type of generalizations about it? I the only thing I expect is good things from him, quite frankly, tonight against this type of competition. He's shown against this level of competition he'll be solid.
I'm gonna make my judgments on Zach Edey tonight. The summer league.
And it won't change. It's stuck. Once you do it, it's over.
We got nothing else going on right now in sports, so it's like I'm oddly excited for a summer league basketball game that means absolutely nothing. I will say, like, in terms of interest in a Grizzlies summer league game, this is as high as it's ever been for me.
Really?
There's not another rookie that I've been this excited to watch. I mean, maybe you go back to Jaren, but Ja didn't play summer league. So that was kind of a non-starter. The year I covered Summer League for the CA in Vegas, you know, it was like Grayson Allen was like playing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's the best you can do.
There wasn't a ton going on there. But the Zach Edey thing, in all seriousness, like, we can't make judgments based on tonight,
sure,
but like, I'm still going to watch and like have some thoughts, I'm sure.
Well, I think the difference with this one, why it's more interesting, is because it could go either way, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, there's some people there. It is a really split bag on what people think of Zach Edey, and I think confirmation bias will be out there and very prevalent tonight, depending on how he actually plays.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I don't believe that Summer League NBA basketball is really the best setting to showcase Zach Edey, because it tends to be a bit frenetic. You've got players who have known each other for a week,
and you have guys that are fighting for their NBA lives, their dream, that are 26 years old, that have been kicking around the G League for 5 years.
Exactly. And so there's not going to be these advanced sets. There's not going to be a lot of organization to it. But we will get to see Zach Edey as a pick-and-roll guy, because that's something that you can implement immediately. You don't even have to practice once to run the pick-and-roll. You can just go out there and run that. So,
hell, I do it in pickup basketball.
That's right, yeah. Are you the ball handler in the pick-and-roll or the...
Oh, I play both roles. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach Edey, though, he's gonna get some run tonight in that pick-and-roll, and that'll be something that we can sink our teeth into.
You know, one thing that I do kind of get the sneaking suspicion on, your point is well taken. It will be frenetic, and there's not a lot of offensive sets. We may sort of fall into, like, one of the big things I want to see him do in an NBA setting is morph his game to not be what he was at Purdue, because that's not the role he's going to play. But I still think through Summer League, he may play that role to a certain extent, right? One of the better players that you're going to be a focal point for another team, going to be a focal point offensively for the Grizzlies. I sort of see that being the case, because if all else fails, you dump it into him, he takes a baby hook, and he's been pretty good historically at making those.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you see, I saw Mike Wallace from Grind City posting his shoot-around video, and it's Zach Edey down there working on the 5-foot left-handers, you know, like just the little push shots and stuff. So it's like, yeah, that's who he is. That's where he's going to get most of his points. He's going to get his points in those little shots. He's going to get his points at the free throw line. And, you know, the other thing, too, that'll be interesting to see is, how does he handle the defensive adjustment?
Yep.
I was watching that Lakers game the other night, And Dalton Knecht, of all people, was called for a defensive 3 seconds. And you can see the Lakers staff pull him over there, and they probably had to remind him, hey, man, we got this thing in the NBA called defensive 3 seconds. Because to what extent, like...
That's the biggest... Never, that's going to be a bigger worry with Zach Edey, I can say that much.
100%. So, like, how does he sort of adjust to that? I think it's going to be... You can draw as much as you want to from what we're going to see from Zach Edey tonight, but then at the end of the day, you got to pump the brakes and just say, hey, this is a glorified scrimmage. This is a practice. The coaches are not going to be the coaches. The teammates mostly are not going to be the teammates. Yeah, it says Grizzlies on the uniform, but this is just an experiment more than anything.
Now, you say there's not a lot going on in sports, and I would agree with you. We're in the dead heat of summer here. But we did have a little bit of college basketball news. Dan Hurley has officially signed his extension with UConn. 6 years, $50 million are going to be owed to him, again, over the next 6 years. But he denied a six-year, $70 million deal with the Lakers, took a lot less money. It shows that for him it was always about situation. It was not about money.
Yeah, it was. And I will say, like, the rumors on the Lakers offer initially were that they were going to be more like $100 million.
Yeah. And so I bet when they put 70 in front of his face, he's like, absolutely the hell not.
Right. So at the end of the day, yeah, he did turn down what would have been a nice raise. But just everything that would have come with being the Lakers coach, when you got a chance to just be an absolute college basketball legend and immortal, you know, maybe at a different franchise at a different time. But yeah, this makes Dan Hurley, we're talking about this deal with UConn as if it's some, like, you know, cheap offer or something. It makes him the second highest paid coach in college basketball on average. Like, I think John Calipari might make more this next season, but over the next six, like, average annual pay, Dan Hurley is going to be right there behind Bill Self at Kansas, right, in terms of college basketball. So he's leapfrogging Scott Drew. He's leapfrogging Rick Barnes and Bruce Pearl, and more or less leapfrogging John Calipari as well. So it's and Tom Izzo. So, I mean, this is big money. It's well-earned money, and it's probably about as much as UConn can afford to pay him.
Now, with the flirtation he had with the Lakers, like, what do you think about his future at UConn? Do you think he could jump to the NBA, depending on the situation?
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. I don't imagine there ever being another college job that Dan Hurley would leave for. I mean, this is the ultimate for him. I mean, it's a blue blood program. There's no debating that anymore. UConn is a blue blood and right up there with any of the rest of them, in my opinion. So he's not leaving for another college job. Would he leave for an NBA job? Maybe if one day, I mean, let's just kick it around. You see what the Knicks have done now with assembling all these former Villanova players on a roster. I mean, we're going to be in 5 years in a situation where Dan Hurley has a convoy of ex-UConn players in the league. And so, you know, let's just say hypothetically, he ends up with Andre Jackson and Stephon Castle and Donovan Klingon all on an NBA roster. Like, yeah, like, he could absolutely, you know, go and coach that team and be interested in doing that. But, you know, I think we talked about it a month or so ago or whenever all this was going on. But the fits would be like the 76ers or the Celtics or the Knicks, like those type of teams, because it's just so hard to imagine Dan Hurley operating sort of outside that Northeastern corridor.
Yeah. Now, sticking with college basketball, talking with David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports. It seems like Memphis basketball, their roster is what it's going to be going into the season. With that, I think, you know, missing out on Arthur Kaluma, not finding a replacement for the David Jones production, that's going to be something we talk about probably the entire season, depending on how it goes. But how do you feel about this roster heading into this offseason, into season, the way it's constructed right now?
Yeah, I think, I mean, they have a really good rotation, but you would like to see more scholarship bodies on the roster just in case. I mean, this is sort of an Arkansas situation now where, you know, John Calipari has been pretty out there about, hey, I don't want to fill all 13 scholarships. And that's all good and well, but my number is kind of like 11. I think you need to get to 11 in this era, because then you have at least a little bit of insulation in the event of injury or suspension or whatever the situation may be. Memphis really doesn't have that wiggle room. But that aside, the players that they've brought in are all players that should, in theory, comprise a good team. On the basis of talent, it's a team that should easily be favored to win the AAC. So I think it's a good roster. I mean, there's good players on this team for Memphis, and they will be my pick, no doubt, to win.
Of course. Of course, but with that, the expectation is going to be right there because nobody else in the conference is seemingly any good. I guess UAB could be sort of second in line there. But with that, if Penny Hardaway doesn't get that done, what do you think you feel about Penny Hardaway and his future here at the University of Memphis if he's not able to win conference and if he has another season similar to last year and it sort of implodes on him?
Yeah, you got to make the NCAA tournament again. I mean, that's just got to be the standard at Memphis. And I'm not saying that you can't miss it every third year or that you can't have a down year every now and then, but the standard's got to be making the NCAA tournament. And in this league, it shouldn't be that difficult. We talk a lot about 20 wins and all the 20-win seasons, and that's legitimate. I mean, that's what the record says, and that is something, but the 20-win threshold is going to continue to mean less and less as the AAC continues to deteriorate in terms of quality play, quality opponents. So, yeah, he's got to make the NCAA tournament. And, I'll let the folks who are hyper-local, debate whether or not missing the NCAA tournament means, he should be fired or he should be on the hot seat. But to me, it's as much about the fan base and the boosters or whatever, right, putting pressure on Penny. It's as much about that as it is to me, Penny, and his desire and his eagerness to continue to deal with everything he's got to deal with. And, if they don't have a good year, to me, it's a question of what's his appetite, to keep slogging away at this thing.
Yeah. Now we have a Duke Blue Devil that's going to be in a Duke Blue Devil uniform next year. We have Cooper Flagg playing in the against the Team USA today. I don't know if you've seen some of these clips.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I have not dove deep into the tape to see who he is. I've just heard and seen clips here and there about him. How good do we expect him to be next year at Duke?
I think he's going to be one of the best freshmen that we've seen in college basketball in a long time. I think he might be up there with a Zion Williamson in terms of the impact. And you're already seeing NBA franchises, circling the wagons around tanking to get Cooper Flagg in the 2025 NBA draft. He's not Victor Wembanyama. He's not 7'4". He's not a space alien, but he's the real deal. I mean, you see some of the clips coming out today of him going head to head with the best basketball players of our generation in this Team USA select camp where they're scrimmaging to try to prepare, the Olympic team. This team has Anthony Davis and LeBron James and, just the best players in the game of basketball, and he's out there going toe-to-toe with them, and he's not even 18 years old yet. And that's really, really impressive, and I think it verifies that, Duke has something special coming in.
And doesn't it feel like in college basketball in particular – We had Zion not too long ago, I understand that, but it feels like we less and less, we have these big, massive freshmen that will move ratings and get us to watch nationally televised college basketball games. It feels like he's the next in line to do that, but it feels like that's something that's missing year to year in college basketball.
Yeah, I think that's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to bring. Neither of the last two classes had that. And I think if Bronny had been healthy going into the season and played for a school that had a higher basketball profile, I think those two things could have made him that guy. But by and large, I've studied this from an analytical perspective. The impact of freshmen is diminished greatly since COVID-19, since the transfer portal, since fifth and sixth year eligibility. All of those things have conspired to make, the rock star freshman less and less of a phenomenon. And so I think with a guy like Cooper Flagg, you're talking about, the guy who is going to move the needle, like I said, more so than probably Zion Williamson. I mean, I think he's that good. And the school that he's going to is such that, the attention will be there for him.
Yeah. And do you think our guy John Shire is doing an okay enough job at Duke to sort of manage the season this year, be pretty good, be a Final Four caliber team?
That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, I'd see. I switched the conversation. That's what I want to know.
got doubts. Like, I really do have doubts about structuring a high-level college basketball roster around freshmen in this era. And Duke is bidding farewell to quite a lot of its production from a year ago. And now you're going to be bringing in an 18-year-old in Cooper Flagg, who turns 18, you know, just before the season, and he's going to be going toe-to-toe with 22, 23-year-olds. We know that story. We've seen that story unfold, and he is better and different, but is he enough better? Is he enough different to overcome that age difference, that maturity difference, you know, when you put him in the course of a 35-game season? Like, I'm skeptical that you can pencil Duke in for a Final Four run based on, you know, the generational talent, you know, that is Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, we know it's hard. I understand that it's hard. Now, moving on, I want to get to a little bit of Memphis football. More commits. Raheem Hutchins Jr., 4-star wide receiver on ESPN, he committed to Memphis. This seems like it's going to be a legendary year on the recruiting trail for Memphis football, and really Group of Five football in general. This could be one for the ages.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Like, it almost feels like Memphis football is flying too close to the sun right now. Yeah, you know, when there's so much good news, like, you just sometimes you got to brace
yourself. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's awesome. I love it. I mean, it's something different. It's unique, and you know, it really is like the old adage: like, you add a star quarterback, then that's just kind of the beginning for your class, because that star quarterback can be the anchor and like the flag in your class that everybody else rallies around. And so Antoine Hill, he might be that guy. Like, everybody says, hey, wow, that guy's going to Memphis. Maybe I should too.
Mm-hmm. And then with all this good news, you start to think about like the possibilities of where this could grow as an athletic department. And obviously you have a new AD, and there has been some snooping going on. Our guy Jonah Dillon at the Commercial Appeal did some snooping on Ed Scott's contract and his incentive to get the Tigers into a power conference. And it's $250,000. Now, I thought it would be a lot higher than that, first of all, David. If you're able to get the University of Memphis, who's been skipped over a however many different times, into a power conference, you think it'd be more around $1 million, right?
But build a statue.
That's what I'm saying. But if he joins the ACC, Big 12, Big 10, or SEC, according to his contract, $250,000 are headed his way. I'm just curious on how that all happens right now. It just feels like the only conference that would seemingly be open for business at this moment would be the ACC. Correct me if I'm wrong.
In all likelihood, yeah. Let's see what Brett Yormark has to say.
Right.
Big 12 Media Days, you know, coming up.
He's always open for business, but I don't know what that business is.
I mean, yeah, he likes to talk. He makes grand statements. But, like just pay attention to what Brett Yormark has to say tomorrow. I mean, whenever he talks, like, I don't know, it's just worth paying attention to, because he's got ideas and he's out there. So just plant that flag. Like, he's talking tomorrow at Big 12 Media Day, so pay attention. If you're Memphis, you know, he might have something to say about expansion. I don't know if he does.
I was going to say, I don't know if we should say that so matter-of-factly, but he'll talk about expansion. He'll be asked.
Well, he'll get asked about it. Like, it's almost a guarantee. So, like, what does he have to say? Are they open for business, like he said in the past? I don't know. Like, that's what I'm saying. Just pay attention, because, like,
right,
that could be an interesting conversation tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, it's the ACC or the Big 12. I understand, like, the language in that contract. You got to include the other power leagues, but, like, I don't want Memphis fans to hear SEC or Big 10.
No, that's not going to happen. No.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, ACC or Big 12. And let's just say this as well, Gabe, that in the recent years, when the conference realignment dominoes have fallen, they have often fallen in the month of July. And that's just sort of been when these things go on and when they happen. And so Florida State's another program to watch right now. Like, if they follow history's pattern and, you know, are able to have some big development in their case against the ACC, I mean, July is kind of the time, you know, for them to say, hey, we're going to buy our way out this time next year or whatever. Like, so just keep an eye on the realignment stuff this month. Again, I'm not predicting that anything
right
is going to happen. But I think it's smart that Memphis built that incentive into his contract, because obviously, like, that is the goal, and, like, you want to incentivize that. And I'm with you. I think it should have been incentivized even maybe more so
than
it was.
Right. And I'll say this about Brett Yormark. It doesn't feel like, and I think Ed Scott said this in his intro press conference, doesn't feel like, at least for two sport, when we're talking about, like, well, all sports, but when you're talking about football and basketball, it doesn't seem like he's very open for football right now. I feel like the next domino that would fall, that could potentially fall for the Big 12, would be trying to strengthen basketball so that Gonzaga thing comes into the equation here.
Yeah, and then, you know, then where does that leave Memphis? Because if they don't want to, if they want to bolster their basketball, can you go Big 12 for basketball and stay in the American for football? I mean, you know, it just, that doesn't really make it make much sense. But yeah, so the Big 12 is a 16-team football conference.
Yeah.
You know, this year with those four new Pac-12 schools in, you know, that's a lot. Like if you start adding to that, you know, what does that really even look like? It's not really a conference at that point. It's more of a, you know, it's a monster. So I'm with you. It doesn't really seem like there would be any reason for them, for the Big 12 to expand from a football standpoint. But if Brett Yormark thinks there's schools out there who could enhance their value, then, you know, he's gonna act and he's gonna move on that. So let's
pay attention. We'll see, and then we could round up on Wednesday and talk about what he had to say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, you know, anytime somebody like that gets up to the podium, you got to be paying attention because it's always strategic. And in media days is that one, it's like the State of the Union, where they circle it on their calendar. They prepare their remarks months in advance. Everything they're going to say is going to be strategic. There's going to be a reason behind it. And so that's why you got to pay attention and read between the lines when you get those speeches from the commissioners.
Yeah, and it's in Vegas this year?
Weird, yeah. I guess the whole.
Well, no, they added some West Coast caliber to those type of teams. So I guess you start moving closer to them, show them some good faith.
Yeah, so you can go watch Deion Sanders at Big 12 Media Days, and then you can pop over and catch some NBA Summer League. You know, it's just the whole sports world.
I hear you for sure. But David, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for popping on.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
We'll talk with David again on Wednesday. But he is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, college football and college basketball writer for CBS Sports. Let's go ahead and grab a break. And when we come back, we'll have more of the Gabe Kuhn Show right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Now that the NBA moratorium is over, we get to actually talk about some of the trades that ultimately went through. We'll talk about the DeMar DeRozan sign and trade that landed him on the Sacramento.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season, just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due.
tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kings a little bit later as we get into the blitz. But we have a final six-team trade that moved Klay Thompson, Kyle Anderson, Buddy Hield, Reggie Jackson, and a bunch of different second-round picks. But, of course, I'm going to try to go through all these, all six teams, Connor. This can be my I'm an effort to. Mavs ended up getting Klay Thompson. They ended up extending him 3 years, $50 million, and they got a second-round pick. The Warriors got Buddy Hield and Kyle Anderson out of that deal, and they're going to give extensions to both. Hornets get Josh Green, Reggie Jackson, and 2 second-round picks. The Wolves ended up getting second-round pick swaps, a second-round pick in itself, and then cash. Sixers got a second-round pick, and then the Nuggets just got cash to make the whole thing go through. It's a little bit, there's too many moving parts, but hey, it's all done. And one thing we have not been able to discuss that happened was Buddy Hield ending up on the Warriors in a sign-and-trade deal. I honestly look at it on its surface, and I don't mind it. I think it's actually a relatively good idea for them to go try to replace Klay Thompson with a younger, more spry shooter in Buddy Hield, even though he's not all that young. Buddy Hield and Steph Curry are number one and number two on three-pointers made the last 5 years.
Yeah.
You're trying to sort of recreate the Splash Brothers, try to go 2.0, even though it's not going to be that way. Ultimately, Buddy Hield's not much on the defensive end, and he is way more of a shot chucker than Klay Thompson ever was. But when you look at that Warriors team, adding Buddy Hield, I think it makes them a better team. I think it makes a whole lot of sense for their current structure and the way they're trying to get things done.
Yeah, it's, you know, Buddy Hield, you feel like he's been in the league forever, but he is only 31 years old, you know, and he's still got some good play left in him. I also like that they picked up Kyle Anderson
and
the ultimate glue guy, DeAnthony Melton. He put out a video today where he said, I'm happy to be a part of the culture, and it drived a stake into my heart. It was very difficult for me to say. It's unfortunately I'm not allowed to root for him anymore. I wish him the best, but I think I have to sell my DeAnthony Melton Island. It would be, I cannot do it. I've had too many battles with Warriors fans over the year. I will say, actually, over the weekend, somehow, a couple of years ago, I had a tweet about Draymond Green when the code thing came out. And I was like, and I put up and I said, the code, and I had pictures of Draymond, you know, beating the living hell out of players. It somehow caught steam again this weekend, and I was quoted and had comments flying around again. I was like, oh, I remember why this website is a hellscape sometimes.
And you turn notifications are turned off.
Oh, had to turn them off. Because people were like, you're still trying to defend Dylan Brooks. I go, it's been years. I said, no, I'm not. He's not even on my team anymore.
And also, you were right in that moment. You were correct.
I was also correct.
You're still correct. Yes,
Draymond. My favorite photo is him trying to rip LeBron's eyeballs out on a layup. But no, I think the Warriors, ultimately, had a pretty good offseason so far.
We're not talking about some championship caliber team.
Right.
But moving forward away from Klay Thompson and ultimately letting go of Chris Paul, you had some star power last year, but now you bring in more useful bodies.
Right.
You have a more useful team than you had a year
ago.
And better role players, Kyle Anderson and DeAnthony Melton starting that whole train. I think it makes sense. And now, at this point, alongside Steph Curry, you can, push forward more Jonathan Kuminga getting his opportunities that he's deserved for a couple of years at this point. And he finally got them toward the back half of last year. But you can finally go out of your way to prioritize a guy like Jonathan Kuminga, who's coming into his own as an NBA player and is still very, very young and could be a star in this league at some
point. Absolutely. He showed flashes of stardom last year when he basically called out Steve Kerr publicly. And Steve Kerr, to his credit, actually gave him more playing time. And guess what? The Warriors all of a sudden went on a run. And it petered out by the end of the season. But they were definitely better with more Jonathan Kuminga minutes.
Now,
I do think that adding Melton, Buddy Hield, and Kyle Anderson, and removing Klay Thompson and CP3, it makes them marginally better.
Yes.
I don't think it makes them a contender.
Of course not.
But they'll definitely be in the playoff discussion.
Now, this is the tough conversation to have here in the city of Memphis.
Okay.
Now that Klay Thompson's gone, Chris Paul's gone, you bring in two former Grizzlies that we really liked. Does it make them a little bit more likable, or is Draymond still on the team and completely spoiling everything?
No, it's not. The Warriors are just the Warriors.
It's the historical thing. It's like the hate against the Clippers, even though that same Clippers team isn't there anymore.
It's different. The Warriors is different because the Clippers is pure ethical hate.
Yes.
The Warriors, it's a little different because they've gotten us a few times in the playoffs. You don't have bragging rights on them as much.
And they try, like, and the holier than thou
type
thing.
It's more so they're just annoying. Just be done with it.
But
I'm ready for them
to like
die.
That version of the Warriors, even Steph Curry said it.
It's
pure, gone. It's over.
It's pure hate in the sense that it's like a sports hate. I hate them as a franchise because of the success that they have had, and I am jealous of it. Like, that hate spurs from jealousy. My hate for the Clippers spurs from the battles that we had with
them. I think it's more than jealousy with the Warriors, though, admittedly. From a couple of years ago, of course, in the playoffs.
Yeah, you get over top.
But then that attitude, that I'm not saying that's gone.
The preacher.
I'm not saying that's completely gone, but that's part of the reason. That's what furthered the sports hate or the actual hate that Grizzlies fans have.
A lot of my dislike for the Warriors is tied to Steve Kerr. So as long as he is there, my
Klay Thompson became
Klay
annoying
just became
as well by
a
the
front
end.
Runner. But it also was kind of sad by the end because he'd be flashing four at you when they were down by 30. And you're like, relax, Klay. Like
You've won championships.
Yeah, it was a bit. It was more corny. With them, I guess they're more corny. The Clippers, it was more of like a blood feud. Like,
yes,
it was like, we're going to war because I hate you and I'm going to rip your eyes out. But with the Warriors, it was more of like, God, these corny nerds keep whooping our ass. And like, whooping out everybody's ass, and it was just annoying.
Yes, I can understand that. Now, transitioning to the NFL.
And then they got KD.
I get that. Now, I want to transition to the NFL real quick because Joe Burrow, I know that we're worried about how he's going to look during the regular season with the wrist injury and what are the Bengals going to do going forward. They have T. Higgins on a short contract. They're going to have to update Jamar Chase's deal, whatever. But Joe Burrow, I think he may have solved. I know the NFL doesn't have a lot of problems. They get people to watch a product. They're you know, of the top 10 shows that we watch in America, usually 8 of the top 10 are NFL games, whether it's playoffs or regular season, Monday Night Football, Super Bowl's usually number one. But Joe Burrow was sort of asked on Pardon My Take with Barstool Sports about the NFL going to 18 games, and I thought this was probably the best way forward that the NFL could take. This makes so much sense. And what he said was if they go to 18 games, there should be two bye weeks. He suggests one of the byes be around week 13 for the entire NFL. They're off the entire week 13 for the Pro Bowl, which is probably the biggest thorn in their side as a league. They get no one to watch it. I know it's gone to flag football. You can keep that, but it would fall right directly in the middle of the season like they do with Major League Baseball and they do with the NBA. You have All-Star Weekend or, you know, Pro Bowl Weekend. You may get more eyes on it. And I think more so than that, how many different, by the end of the year, how many different reserves and alternates do we have to get through? Tyler Huntley one year was a damn Pro Bowler after playing 2 weeks at the end of the season because we got to so many alternates. He also believes that adding the second bye week and an extra game, the Super Bowl would fall on the Sunday before President's Day, giving us all off the Monday after the Super Bowl. I think everything he said, salient, it should make sense. And honestly, I think if Roger Goodell and the people at the NFL office know what's best for them, which usually they do, this should be the schedule. This makes way too much sense for me to ignore it.
It sounds like a perfect plan to me. The biggest thing about it is that you get the Sunday before President's Day.
For us consumers.
Which technically makes the Super Bowl a national holiday, which we've said a few times. It should be an unofficial national holiday, is it? Because everybody's watching the Super Bowl. Nobody wants to go to work the next day. Everybody deserves the day off. I love this plan. Joe Burrow, whenever I wish he could run for president now. this is a solid plan. I don't give a damn about the NFL All-Star Week. I just don't care about the Pro Bowl whatsoever.
No one does.
But it would help people. You know, people would be like, I don't have anything to watch right now. Maybe I'll tune in for it.
Random Sunday, there's no NFL football on. How do you curb that hunger you have for NFL football on that Sunday? Why not go check in on what they're doing? It'll be its own thing right there in the middle of the season.
So, for conversation's sake, if you're doing a pros and cons list, are there any cons that jump to your mind about this proposal?
Not in particular. Not in particular at all. I think you kill two birds with one stone, and you move on with your life, and everything's better. Because I don't think they much care about the Pro Bowl, so
no,
I don't think this is actually going to happen. But if you were going to try to boost the ratings on the Pro Bowl, make it more appetizing for the consumer, I think throwing it in the middle of the season when nothing else is going to be on TV and they want to see their favorite guys play up and strap up on a Sunday, they'll probably tune in a little bit more likely than they would after the season where it's placed right this second.
Right.
Because no one gives a damn at that point in the year. Everybody's just waiting for the next playoff game to drop.
The biggest selling point of all of this, though, is the Sunday before practice.
Yes, 100%. 100%. I think everybody can get down with that.
Every single person, I think,
yes,
would
players,
be down
consumers, NFL, all, everybody wants to get down with that. But I think that that is a good plan of action. We'll see if they actually they listen to Joe.
Fingers crossed.
Also, we had the MLB All-Star rosters published. I don't have any. I'm not going to act like I have any big issues. But 32 first-time All-Stars on Major League Baseball's All-Star rosters, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's a changing of the guard. That's a lot of different guys that, you know, the consumer has to get used to as we move into a new era. And I think sort of leading that right now is Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens has been ridiculous. I can't get over this guy. I mean, he's the only first overall pick in MLB history to become an All-Star the following season. Obviously, plays for the Pittsburgh Pirates. But 10 games into his career, 2.12 ERA, 78 strikeouts, which is 10th on the all-time list for pitchers that have starting pitchers have only pitched 10 games. So he's doing really well there. But only 59.1 innings pitched, and he's already an All-Star. That's a hell of a start to the career of Paul Skeens.
Pretty good. Gabe, I'm a little worried because I'm beginning to believe in my Red Sox.
Okay.
Because they are
I'm falling into the same thing with my Cardinals.
Massive tear right now. They have one of the best records in baseball over the 20 games. They have three All-Stars this year. Rafael Devers, just let me read off a stat to you. First 220 career at-bats at either version of Yankee Stadium. David Ortiz, the Yankee killer, the legend himself. Yeah. 16 home runs, 37 RBIs. Devers, 16 home runs, 35 RBIs.
That's
Gabe,
pretty good.
This stupid team is going to make me buy in fully like I am right now, and I am so worried that they're going to break my heart in October. I'm so scared.
No, it's hilarious.
They are on absolute tear right now.
No, it's hilarious. You and I, like, I guess the, you know, Red Sox, Cardinals, beef, neither fan base,
beef.
Neither team
I'm
really
sorry.
Likes
Did you
each
beat us
other.
In the World Series? They, I
well,
think
whatever,
not.
But neither team really likes each other. You know, big brands in baseball, that type of thing. Both of our teams are right there.
They're right
in the wild card right now, having really good couple of months. And your Red Sox are 49-40. My Cardinals are, 48-42 after their win today? Good Lord. I'm bought back in, even though the Cardinals don't have – what's hilarious about the Cardinals, they don't have anybody playing overly well besides, like, Mason Wynn as a hitter. But they're still winning ball games somehow.
The pitching staff has held up for the Red Sox. And Tanner Houck, woo!
This would have been over the weekend, so this stat is a little bit outdated. But the Cardinals held a wild card spot and had the best record since May 12th, and their run differential
was minus 36
at that point.
It's gotten better. It's only 33 now.
It's minus 33, and they are 48-42.
Stop the count. We're both in the playoffs.
Make sense. Make sense of that. You really can't. And their only All-Star was Ryan Helsley. They're closer.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Only All-Star being
it's
a closer.
Brutal. Yeah, because Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt have been pretty miserable this year for the most part. I wonder if Nolan Arenado could help another team and they could find something at the trade deadline to go find some value for
like
him.
Jared
I don't
Duran.
Know if he's completely gone Woo! Or what.
He's turned it on.
Yeah. What's the run differential of the Red Sox? Do we have any idea of that?
It is plus 36.
Oh, see, that's good. you should feel better. You should feel better about where you're at than my Cardinals.
Their pitching's been excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. Cardinals has not been excellent. They've just been a thoroughly average team statistically and really bad in run differential, yet they're still a wild card team in the NL right now. I don't know what to make of that. If anybody has any
thoughts.
Are we
teams of destiny or are we frauds?
Yeah,
who knows?
I think the Cardinals are frauds.
We'll find out.
I think the Cardinals are frauds, but they're somehow getting by. If anybody has any explanation, hit me up, G_Coon71. But let's go ahead and grab a break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up hour number two with Small Talk right here on the Gabe Coon Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Coon Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, where I want to go with Small Talk is a place that a lot of people, I think on these airways, Jason and John have already gone, but people, it's been sweeping the nation. And this is the Hawk Tua girl, Haley Welch, who was on the Nashville Strip about a month or two back and had the famous Hawk Tua and spit on that thing, the deal going. I'm not going to tell you what the question was. I think you can surmise based on what she had to say. But with her, she has now, let's give an update on Haley Welch. She now has her socials about her. She has social media out there. She has moved to L.A., and this is the most recent thing I saw via TMZ. She is close to landing a reality show for her life based on just the Hawk Tua thing. She has said she doesn't want to be known as the Hawk Tua girl, but that is clearly what she is known as. But landing a reality show usually requires you to be, to be honest with you,
interesting,
very interesting. And I don't see this girl. I've seen her on multiple speaking engagements now that she's done her media training. She doesn't seem all that interesting. I don't understand. It just seems we're in this society now of engagement farming and just trying to, you know, see as much engagement as we possibly can. That's the only reason I could see a reality show working for her. But it wouldn't work for very long because I don't see her being that interesting of a human being. What would the reality show be about? Who would she be talking to? This seems like a very short-term thing that has put her out in the public eye that's not going to last for all that long. It's like a little fad thing, if you can even put it in that category.
I do not understand.
And it's not that funny anymore. Not, I saw it once, laughed, it was over.
It was done. It got like a bit of a chuckle for me the first time. And by the second time I saw it, I was like, oh, this is already old.
Can I be honest, men out there, stop being so thirsty and weird.
You're weirdos.
Everybody's asking for her her social media and her, like, what? And just because she said this, like, how thirsty do you have to be?
I will say, it's an all-time fumble by her, though. Like, she's allowing all this merch to happen without having any rights to it. She didn't have any social media. I don't understand why she's moving to L.A.
What are you moving to L.A. for?
What's your plan?
She's from somewhere in Tennessee.
She's from Tennessee.
Yeah.
This is just the most all of our brains have rotted story.
This is the most 2024 story of all time. It really is. We suffer from brain rot in a really big way because of social media and just like this like little 6 second, 5 second attention span.
A lot of people need to go outside, walk into their yard, bend down, and touch the ground. Touch grass. If you think that Hawk Tua is still funny, go touch some grass. All right?
What go did into get the me, daylight. Though, she was on with Barstool for her first appearance on a podcast, and she said, I don't want to be known as the Hawk Tua girl.
Well,
and I was like,
what?
I got really bad news for you, Haley. That's who you are now.
In her way, she's playing this wrong. Lean into it. Make your money in the short term. Do the merch and all that stuff because people are being weird about it, but make money off of them. Don't move to L.A. and try to change your life off of it.
I don't understand that. It makes no sense. I don't think, like, all these people that are trying to potentially land a reality show with her, I think they'll start to realize after talking to her that it's like, what would really bring people in to go watch that show?
It's no offense to her. Just no offense to her. But not everybody is supposed to be an entertainment person. They're not supposed to entertain. And from the clips of the interviews I've seen of her on TikTok, I'm just like, she's not that interesting.
No.
She's not really that funny.
Not that funny.
She's not that interesting. What are we doing here?
And here's the Hawk Tua thing. That was a good one-liner.
Great one-liner.
But I think everybody out there has a good one-liner in them.
You can
give me one good funny line, but then after that, you're going to have to stay funny.
The best description of it I have seen is that it is your coworker's favorite joke. And I think all of us know what that means. It's your coworker's favorite joke.
You're around the coffee pot.
Yeah.
See the Hawk Tua girl, man. Oh, my gosh. Watch this. It doesn't hold up. It doesn't hold up. I think you are hitting the nail on the head. This is brain rot.
Brain rot. It is brain rot to the extreme.
I can't. And like to see the level to which people will go to potentially get engagement with whatever they do, you know, TV conglomerates trying to bring her in for a reality show. It just shows that we're losing our way.
We've lost the plot.
We're losing our way as a society and understanding who's interesting and who's funny. Personally, that's my thought on it. But hey, more power to her. If she's able to get a reality show, go get that bag.
I guess so.
Go get that bag. But first and foremost, go hire lawyers to make sure nobody can sell your merchandise without
you having some stake in that. You should have copyrighted that thing immediately.
Yeah, and she didn't have social media.
Didn't have any.
And it took like a month for her to even
do anything.
Has it
been a month of this?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's been too long, honestly. a month has been too long.
Darby talked about a meteor that was passing by Earth, and I just wish it turned direction and headed right toward us.
Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. And when we come back, we will start off hour number three, talking some Grizzlies, some Summer League, some Zach Edey with my guy from Substack Elitist. That would be Parker Fleming.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Pot.
Yeah.
See the Hawk Tua girl, man. Oh my gosh, watch this. Yeah, no, it's still, but it doesn't hold up. It
doesn't hold up.
I think you are hitting the nail on the head. This is brain rot.
Brain rot. It is brain rot to the extreme.
And like to see the level to which people will go to potentially get engagement with whatever they do, you know, TV conglomerates trying to bring her in for a reality show. It just shows that we're losing our way.
We've lost the plot.
We're losing our way as a society and understanding who's interesting and who's funny. Personally, that's my thought on it. But hey, more power to her. If she's able to get a reality show, go get that bag.
I guess so.
Go get that bag. But first and foremost, go hire lawyers to make sure nobody can sell your merchandise without
right.
you.
You should
having
have copyrighted
that
thing immediately.
Yeah, and
immediately.
She didn't have social media.
Didn't
either.
Have any.
And it took like a month for her to even
has it
do
already
anything.
Been a month of this?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's been too long, honestly. A month has been too
Darby
long.
Darby talked about a meteor that was passing by Earth, and I just wish it turned direction and headed right toward us.
Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. And when we come back, we will start off hour number three, talking some Grizzlies, some Summer League, some Zach Edey with my guy from Substack Elitist. That would be Parker Fleming.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus, an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.